looking at the guy that's carrying that trophy at the, you know, at the end of the year, and you say, man, what did he do? What's the secret? Well, the secret is trust what you're doing. You're confident in it, but do you really believe in it, and do you really trust it? If you don't possess that, your student athletes aren't going to see it. They're not going to believe it either. Tell our guys, the reason I'm coaching is I couldn't play very well, so I have to try to get you guys a little bit better than what I was.
You're dialed in to the ABCA's Calls from the Clubhouse podcast, connecting our coaches with some of the best baseball minds in our game. Now here's your host, Jeremy Schiedinger.
We are broadcasting live from the ABCA National Office here in Greensboro, North Carolina, and you are dialed back into our podcast, coaches, and another edition of our Dugout Chatter episodes. Just another tremendous guest, another tremendous episode. It's right here for you today. But first and foremost, on behalf of the American Baseball Coaches Association, we want to thank each and every one of you for listening into the show each week. And we're starting to see it's not just baseball coaches. It's players, it's parents, it's baseball fans. It's anyone and everyone out there that wants more baseball insight and knowledge. And guess what? You're in exactly the right spot, because that's what this podcast is all about. We're working to connect each of us with the very best baseball minds in our game. And with these Dugout Chatter episodes, it connects all of us with some of the very loyal and proud ABCA member coaches out there that are outstanding baseball men who we can shine a spotlight on, can lean back into the benches of a dugout, and really get to know these guests outside the white lines. Now, these have been so well received, and I'm certain this one will be as well. We're talking with Tracy Archuleta, the head coach of the University of Southern Indiana, and our very first Division II coach to grace the airwaves. So we picked a solid one for this episode. Coach Archuleta has built USI into one of the perennial powers, not only in the Great Lakes Valley Conference, but also nationally. They've made 6 regional appearances over the past 10 years. They've made 4 trips to the World Series, with 2 of those ending in national championships. The Screaming Eagles took home the crown in 2010 and also 2014. We're talking to an 18-year continuous ABCA member coach. Such a great vantage point to learn from for our listeners, and we're excited to bring this one to you today. We open up Arch's growth as a coach, moving away from wins and losses and now solely focused on developing relationships. We talk through his reflections on the growth of Division II baseball as a whole, with terrific talking points on why prospects should look at Division II when they're looking for the right fit for school. Plus, Tracy talks us through his career highs and lows, and also reflecting on the great baseball men that helped shape him into the championship coach he is today. So again, guys, these are about shining a light on the endless list of impressive, incredible baseball men that are proud members of the ABCA, and we're excited to have you guys get to know Coach Tracy Archuleta from the University of Southern Indiana on today's Dugout Chatter episode. Get ready, coaches. This great show is coming at you right now. Coaches, we're excited about an interview. Anytime you have a chance to get down on the airwaves, a coach that's won a national championship, you got something that's pretty special. If you have a chance to sit down and talk with a guy that's won a couple of national championships, you really got something unique. And we're excited about this opportunity to sit down with the head coach of the University of Southern Indiana, the Screaming Eagles skipper, Tracy Archuleta. Trace, thanks for being on the call with us.
Thanks for having me, Sheets.
We're excited about this one in particular because obviously you're a guy I've known throughout my entire coaching career, actually my playing career. So I've gotten to see you work your way up through building up Wisconsin Parkside to taking the job at Southern Indiana, and what you've done there over 10 full seasons, this being your 11th in 16 years as a head coach, is definitely worthy of us getting on the podcast. And what I want to kind of start with is for our coaches and the guys listening in, Arch, if we could walk them through your coaching career, because it's been solely based around Division II baseball, but then obviously what you've done up until this point.
Like any player that played, the college baseball, you never want to leave. And, when I got done playing, I had an opportunity to be a student assistant coach at Metro State College, my alma mater, under Coach Perico, Vince Perico, who was probably one of the best fundamental guys that I've ever been around, and really just taught me a lot about the game of baseball and how to get better. I mean, just how to get your skills better. And then after that, didn't want to get out of baseball, and got an opportunity to coach at Wayne State College in Nebraska under Coach Manganiello, which was the toughest and hardest working man that I've ever been around, and then had the opportunity to then go to Central Missouri State with Brad Hill, who is now at Kansas State, who was just a mastermind of the offensive game and just really knew how to get guys to play. And it was just a pleasurable experience there. Went back to Wayne State with Coach Manganiello, my first assistant job, and then was at Wisconsin Parkside for 5 years, and it was the coldest time of my career for sure, but enjoyed every second of it. Had some great players, and we had some good teams. And then we were very fortunate to get the job here at USI. Been here now, like you said, for 11 years, and couldn't have a better community, better fan base, better support. Our support system here at the University of Southern Indiana is one of the best in the country. And that's what makes this place special, and that's they have so many people taking pride in it.
It's pretty awesome, especially to watch from afar, again, coaching against you, but just watching what you've done there. And coaches, just to put it in perspective, 10 seasons, 10 full seasons there at USI, two national championships, 10 and 14, been made four trips to the World Series, had six regional appearances, so there's something in the water there that you've done. What got your attention when this job came open, and what have you seen since you've got there? You referenced it a little bit, the community, but why is USI such a special place? What's your recruiting pitch for guys looking to play at USI?
Well, I mean, the main thing when I was at Parkside, when we'd come into USI, number one, it was warmer.
That's a fact.
And then number two was the seats were always packed. And they weren't having great years at this time. And it just really amazed me, I mean, how much fan support they had, and you know, at the Division II level, of a very average team. And when this job came open, I felt that, number one, it was a great place to raise a family, and number two, I thought that it was a place that we could, you know, compete for a national championship and win. And because of the fan base, and I, you know, when looking back at it and coming back, I mean, when we started our first year in 2007, we were able to get to the World Series, and I bet you we had 50 or 60 people that traveled with us down to, you know, in Montgomery, Alabama at that time, and not parents, not family, we're talking just fans, and it was just, it's a great environment. You know, now we have over 100 season ticket holders. And at the Division II level, to have a price on your event and people wanting to be a part of it, that's a must. I mean, that's just something that's special. And what ends up happening is you see our guys taking, you know, noticing that and taking more pride. Hey, it's just not mom and dad in the seats. You know, when we go out on the road or wherever we go, I mean, we have a great following, and our guys notice that, and we make sure to let them know that, hey, they're not only playing for, you know, a university and the name on their back and the name on the front, but they're playing for a community, the city of Evansville. And that goes a long ways. And I think the main thing recruiting wise that we've been able to do, is we've been able to get guys within a 90-mile radius that take a lot of pride in this university, that can play baseball. And then with that, we get that pride in the University of Southern Indiana on top of it, and then we can bring in two or three guys from outside of the area a little bit that we feel are impact guys. Coach Keister has done a good job with that, and we've been very fortunate, you know, to get guys like Matt Chavarria, that was our shortstop closer in 2014. That was a big component of it out of New Mexico, that played at Otero Junior College, and then in 2010, we had a shortstop closer also by the name of Wandy Rosario, out of Boston, Massachusetts. And just another impact guy. And we've done a really good job of bringing in the right fit guy in that impact area, and then having good local guys around us that want to compete and want to win.
Sure. This is close to my heart as well, as a Division II player. And you spent the majority of your coaching career on the Division II level. And so it's interesting to look back over, you know, so many, almost 20 years in the game, and how have you seen Division II? This is a two-part question, Arch. How have you seen Division II grow and develop? But then also, from that perspective, USI aside, what's your recruiting pitch for Division II baseball overall?
Division II has always had this niche a little bit, and the two things that we've had over the course of time is that if you want to go out, and the biggest thing about the baseball is you can get drafted at any level.
Sure.
So what's the most important thing that that's going to happen for a player? They got to play.
Mm-hmm.
And they got to be one of the better players. So one of my pitches, one of the others, hey, if you want to go somewhere and you want to stand out, you want to win baseball games, and you want to be that All-American type guy, Division II is the perfect fit for you.
Mm-hmm.
And then I look at him square in the eyes and tell him, hey, what's your chance of being one of the top 100 players in the country at the Division I level? You know,
right.
When they look back at you, when they get a little reality check a little bit in there, it's like, you know what? I can excel at the Division II level and possibly continue my playing career and win some baseball games. And that's probably the biggest thing that I notice with Division II, that we can kind of push them up a little bit and through there. The other thing is you're going to get stability. And sometimes it can bite you a little bit, but what young adults want is they want stability.
Mm-hmm.
They want a coach that's going to be there for a while. They want a coach. They want something that they're going to play for that they understand. And Division II has that. And do I think it's good? I think it's good at times. But it's also something that I think us as coaches really appreciate, that somebody that really appreciates what you're doing for that university, not only about W's and L's.
Mm-hmm.
And the stability part is definitely something that you have in Division II. If you look around and, you know, even in the GLVC, I mean, we have Gary Vaught, and I can't tell you, I mean, you've dated me to say that I coached you, you were playing when I coached, so
yep.
You've already done that. So Gary Vaught's been around a while in Indy. Rick Odette's been there
mm-hmm.
for a long time. I mean, you go around with all the coaches, Jim Brady, mm-hmm. These guys have been there for a lot longer than I have.
Yeah.
And there's some stability there, and there's some and sometimes, you know, your student athletes, they want to play for one guy, and that's why they're going to that school, and you see that. And what's tough is at the Division I level is now, which I think is good for our sport, is, you know, there's changes a lot. The expectations are higher, and that's what's great.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's great about college baseball. I think expectations are higher, and you're seeing more jobs. I think last year you'd have the total number on it, but there was a lot of Division I baseball jobs open last year.
Sure.
And that just shows that it's more important to the university to see them win and see them win at a high level, which is good.
So let me date those other guys, because they were all coaching the GLVC when I played too. So just to be fair, you're certainly one of the younger ones. You know, this is a interesting follow-up here. I know you and I have spent a lot of time talking about, even off the record button. It's been very apparent watching from a distance, watching how you guys go about your business. You've always ran the bases well. You've always played great defense. You guys have always pitched. Three things right off the top that jump off the page. But if you could, because you and I have talked about this, I think this is great audio gold for our coaches to hear. What's been your approach to coaching? And this is kind of like the lessons learned along the way question, but, you know, certainly from where you started to now, that has developed and grown and certainly enhanced. But what has been your approach to coaching? And you referenced it earlier about, you know, coaching for the kids more than the W's and the L's.
Well, I think the one thing that I've learned over the past 11 years here at USI, and the 5 years, that makes it 16, huh? That is dating me right there. 16
exactly.
Years is that you got to trust what you're doing. And I didn't understand that until after we won a national championship in 2010. Because you're always looking, and you're looking at the guy that's carrying that trophy at the end of the year, and you say, man, what did he do? What's the secret? Well, the secret is trust what you're doing.
Mm.
And that's what we don't, you know, as young, it doesn't matter what it is. Anytime you start doing something for the first time, I mean, you're confident in it, but do you really believe in it? And do you really trust it?
Sure.
Because if you don't possess that, your student athletes aren't going to see it. They're not going to believe it either. And that was the one thing that over time after we won in 2010, I was like, hey, what we're doing is right. And it's sad. Here's the sad part. It's sad that it took a national championship for me to sit there and believe, hey, this is certain ways that we're going to have to do things.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is you got to trust your players in order to be instinctive. I mean, let's be honest. When the game's happening, they have to be able to play the game with their instincts. If you're trying to coach every play and you're trying to, you know, do everything, you know, step by step, and they have to do it this way, you're going to be an average team. But if you let them play and you let them go out and trust their instincts and do that and put them in that situations during practice and go over what they're looking for and different things, that's how you're going to get them to be better players. Those are the things that are going to really help you go the wrong way. Number one, is like I said, is trust what you're doing is right. Really, and number two is you got to put them in a situation. Hey, and they're going to, here's the thing, in the game of baseball, we're going to be in a situation where we've never been in. How are they going to react? Well, they're only going to react how you coach them. They're going to react either aggressively or hesitantly. Mm-hmm. So how are you going to go? How are you going to go about doing it? You want them to act aggressively. Any ground ball, I've said this to our guys every time and time again, this is just a little analogy, is this is, if you make, when you make a mistake, make it being aggressive. Don't make it being passive. I ain't gonna get mad at you if you make it being aggressive. And that's how you want to handle it all.
Mm-hmm. Was there a point, and you referenced, you know, obviously working for a great detailed fundamental coach there at Metro, but was there a point, maybe it was during your playing career or even the first few years of coaching, where you went, you know what, this is what I want to do for my career. There's nothing else out there that excites me more than coaching college baseball. Was there a moment you can refer back to that that really stuck out to you?
I think there's many different situations, but the first is Coach Perico, who gave me the opportunity and let me get into the coaching part and really helped me understand it. But Coach Manganiello at Wayne State probably was the one that really made me want to be a head coach, because here's a guy that was working in a, you know, at Wayne State College, town of 5,000, toughest place to recruit in. Further up north, and the weather's not great. And that guy put in every ounce of energy to those young men, and he worked his tail off to make them tough and to make them better people. Hmm. And don't get me wrong, the baseball games and the winning and everything else came a part of that, but he had so much respect from his players. I wanted to be able to have that much of an impact with the players that I've coached. And he was probably the one that showed me how important it is and how much impact that we have in a young man's life. And that was probably when I realized that, hey, I wanted to be a coach and I wanted to be able to make impact with young men in baseball.
And as you go throughout this career, Arch, are there moments that stick out to you? We always ask these questions about highs and lows, because certainly we can talk about national championships, but I know there's other moments that stick out. But the highs and lows that you've approached throughout your career, can you reference those for us for the show and our listeners?
You know, everybody, you know, you would think, like, of course, the national championships were, you know, as far as the baseball and the high moments and I guess it's more belief that you can get it done, and it's great to see the young men and how they, and you know, how they achieved it and everything else and the stories. But the biggest highs day in and day out for me is when you're done coaching those young men and you see them as alumni and you see them coming back and some of the values and things that you help them with that you get back. You know, that you get the phone call after a win, you know, like whenever it was this past weekend, you know, I'll get a phone call from an alumni, you know, from Parkside or from USI, and that say, hey, great win, coach, you know, get them tomorrow, that they still care. Like that they're on top of it, that they're doing so well. Like those are the rewarding parts. Those are the high moments of the coach's life. And we can take the wins, and don't get me wrong, every win's a high moment and every national championship was special. But the amount of family that I have as a coach that are out there that I know that be there for me is amazing. And those are the high moments, and knowing that I had an impact. And as, you know, as far as low moments is, I think, it's, you know, you would think it'd be a loss or it'd be here and there, but, I think the one thing about the lows is every low becomes a positive. Mm-hmm. I don't care what loss it is or what we had to overcome in what year. I'm going to use it as a positive. I'm going to turn it into a positive. I'm going to learn from it. The dwelling and the different things that go about, in this game, it's a game of failure. If you can't handle failure, you're not going to be a very good baseball player.
Sure.
So, and how you're going to get through that, and again, how you're going to get through a low is you're going to understand you're going to make that mistake once. You're not going to make it twice. And I think the toughest thing that us coaches have a challenge of, and a lot of other coaches have hit on this, is All right, my kid, you know, my kids right now, they get way more than what my mom and dad ever gave us. Mm-hmm. Okay, and the toughest part is holding those guys accountable because we're always giving them something, and they have to understand that they have to understand their role, and they have to be able to work in order to achieve their goals. Those are the things that you have to get to in the lows. Is just like right now. I mean, we're 12 and 13. Not where we want to be at this current time. And I told our guys right now, hey, you know, it might not be the correct path, you know, but we have to find a way to make our story a little bit better, mm-hmm. you know, and how we're going to do that. Well, we started out 12 and 13 and we end up winning our conference. That's the story that we're hoping for. Sure. How are we going to get there? We're going to get there by outworking everybody. And it's all about them. It's all about work ethic. It's been all about getting after it, and that's what we want to be able to do. We got to work harder than the other guy, and we got to believe that we can do it.
That's great. That's absolutely the follow-up is how you get through them. I think we've referenced it on this show, and you've had a number of coaches. Most recently has been an interview we did with Augie Garrido where you make the decision to either win or learn. You can really change your perspective, and I love that you referenced that you never have to process a quote-unquote loss or a low moment. You can change that as quickly as you want to into a learning opportunity and grow from it and be better because of it. So I appreciate you offering that. Now here's kind of off the beaten path questions that somehow trip up our guests because you're just a baseball rat guy that's dedicated his whole career to the game and his players. But if you weren't coaching, Arch, what would you jump into?
Wow.
Yeah. Loaded question.
If I wasn't coaching, what would I run into? You know what? It's such a special... I wake up every morning and I can't wait to go to work. So, I think all coaches feel the same way. That it's just a great opportunity. But I'd be a caddy because I love golfing, and then I could go out and then I could fish maybe during the off time. Maybe just kind of jump on maybe the 18th hole there, and maybe throw a line in. You know, after they're all done and everybody's out. Sure. I'd want to be a caddy. How about that?
Perfect. Dynamite answer, which leads right into this, man. Like, is there anything that your friends don't know about you, your players may not even know, but like hidden talents, or is there like a hobby that's there that's under the uniform?
I don't have no hidden talents. That's for darn sure. The reason I'm coaching is I couldn't play very well, so I have to try to get you guys a little bit better than what I was.
Sure.
Love to fish, love to golf. And I'm not very good at golf, as all my buddies would tell me, but I love going out there and the camaraderie and it's just great to be around some of your friends and doing that. And I always like going out and fishing. And I tell you what, this past weekend, we had a Sunday off because we moved the games up. And for the first time, my son said, hey, we want to go fishing, Dad. I was so excited. he pulled in a big old bass and it was a good time. It was the first time my son actually wanted to go fishing.
That's
awesome.
It took
him 15 years.
Finally got there though. Perseverance wins. I love this question too, because there's just, you know, if you spent time on the bus or in the dugout or in the locker room, like as a baseball guy, there's so many moments that we all reflect on and laugh about. But if you could, what are some of those funniest moments that you still think about that still get you laughing that's happened over the years with your teams?
Wow. You know, I think funny moments are different things. I'm a pretty, pretty serious guy when it comes to the game, and we do have fun and we do get out there a little bit. But I think some of the funny moments that I look back on are what I spent with our coaches and my coaching staff. Back when I first started coaching, we had this thing where our first base coach would do something every time that he'd run the first base box. And it started with Frank Armilio, who told me he was going to do the old chicken wing as he was going around the thing. And our guys loved it, got him relaxed, kind of laughed a little bit. And then it came into Coach Weaver. He would dead sprint from the third base dugout to the first base box, dead sprint. And the people would laugh, and they were like, what's this guy doing? And one day, I think we're playing U of E, and he pulled his hamstring. So he couldn't – he's running at full speed. His hamstring goes. And he's in serious pain, but he's not going to tell anybody.
Right.
And he's just sitting there just wearing it. And then it went down to Royal Beach, was a student assistant of ours in 2010. He used to go and he used to do a pop-up slide. He used to run in the first base box, do a pop-up slide. And it was just character. It gave us some character, got our guys kind of relaxed. That's probably the funniest thing that I thought. I mean, it's just good stuff there.
I can see Weave rolling and just that hamstring popping. I can see that image in my mind right now.
Yeah, as you and me both know, Weave was not the most athletic guy. Sorry, Weave.
Sure, so, yeah. You know what? But it's not his fault. If you really think, was this in Wisconsin?
No, this is at USI University of Evansville. Well, so it was probably 55, 60 degrees. We're fine.
Yeah, I was going to say, we could blame it on the cold weather if he was at Parkside, but we can't if he's in Evansville.
No.
You've referenced a few guys, and I love anytime we get a coach on here and he starts really reflecting on the guys that have impacting him the most in this game. And I said, you've referenced a few, but if you could place those guys up on your personal Mount Rushmore and you had three or four that come to mind, who would you throw up there and why?
Wow. When I look back, and I mean, and to put three up there is really hard, but, first thing I do, I put my mom and dad probably be the first one, just because of the they're the ones that showed me work ethic and to believe and give me the opportunity to be a baseball coach. And you know, the number two guy is Coach Manganiello at Wayne State. I mean, father figure to me still to this day, that showed me what work really is and showed me how hard you have to work at the game in order to get your players to play hard. We've said this, and I've told our guys, and I really do believe this. We might not have had the best teams talent-wise, but we had the guys that had the most heart and wanted to win, and that's what he was able to show me. And I think in some of the teams that I've had here at USI is a prime example. And Coach Mags, I mean, he was awesome, man. He would jump me like I was a player when I was a GA. If I would walk in a couple minutes late, he would just wear me out, and it was great. And but a great friend and just a true leader. And then the last guy is going to be a non-baseball guy, okay. And it's a little different, and it's going to be Greg McDermott, the head men's basketball coach at Creighton.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that he was able to show me is how to get your community involved, how to get people to show ownership in your program. And two, he was just a great recruiter, and all the different things that he did in the recruiting world and with letters and how to get to know your players more and how to make them feel welcome and do those little things in order to get them to, be at your university, which was, when I was at Wayne State and he was also there, he was the AD and the basketball coach. And I'm telling you, in a town of 5,000, as much success as Coach Mags and Coach McDermott had there, it is amazing. I mean, it was truly amazing. And it shows in their career, and in Mac's career now, and then in Coach Manganiello's career there at Wayne State.
That's great. I appreciate you diving into that one. And this is an interesting question because, again, reflecting on so many years in Division II, but who have been those coaches in particular, or those teams, or especially specific moments that you can think about that you just love competing against or had just some great battles with that you really enjoy when they're on your schedule?
Well, you know what, conference-wise, some of the guys that I mentioned already, first of all, I mean, Rick Odette, when I was at Parkside, we used to have some battles, and St. Joe's always been a school that I've always looked forward to competing against Rick. And I'm come to appreciate it now a little bit more because now St. Joe's not going to be in there in our conference. They're folding the school down. And guess who gets the last weekend at St. Joe?
Just saw that on the schedule. Yep.
The Screaming Eagles do, and I can't, and it's going to be great. I mean, it's going to be a great rival that we had, and I respect him. We've had some heated moments, and the other one's Gary Bott.
Mm-hmm.
Gary Bott at Indy has also been here at USI, probably a little bit more of our rival type school that it goes back and forth with. And again, have great respect for both of them. We'll sit down with them after games all the time, call each other and so forth, but we still have the same time. I want to beat both their butts each time, and they want to beat mine. So,
sure.
And then the last guy that I've had, and I've been having a little bit of just I don't want to say rival, but just is Coach Hurst down in Tampa. I mean, now we've played them. we played a couple times in the World Series, and then we go there and play. We played there probably 2 years down in Tampa, and it's such a, so it's great teams. They play the game the right way, and it's just it's been a great experience just having that little rivalry, just the two teams that have been in the World Series quite a few times, and you kind of set the mark of hey, you got to go through those boys, and that's how we started the season out a little bit and see where we're at. And for the first time, the University of Tampa is going to be coming down to USI next year on April 20th.
Oh, so that's boy.
That's going to be in the middle at the end of the year, and we're looking forward to that one. So
sure.
That'll be fun.
That's great. And this is the last question I'll ask because I know you're preparing for a game today, but I think a great question that I know many of our listeners are young coaches, hopefully in their early 20s and early 30s, and they're really trying to figure this thing out. So to get guys on that have had success in our game and have dedicated their career to it, Arch, I think this is an imperative question that we offer is, what advice would you offer a young assistant coach? And this could go two different ways. What did you really need to know when you were 22 and just getting involved? But also for all those guys listening in, what are those things that they need to hear from a guy like you that could set them off down a more positive path?
The number one thing that I think that all of us have been there as an assistant coach, as a GA, as a student, or whatever it is, you have to put the work in, and you have to go out and you have to network, and you have to say, you have to tell yourself this, it'll all pay off in the end. And what I mean is, yeah, you might not be making much money. You might be, it's literally paycheck to paycheck or just kind of getting through it. Mom, dad might be still helping you out or whatever it is. If you really want to coach, you're not doing it for the money. You're doing it to help these young student athletes out, to get them to the next level, to get them to be, hey, to win a national championship or to make an impact in their lives. And the other thing is, what's great about our game and what's great about baseball coaches is we all share our knowledge, and the ABCA is part of that. And we all, hey, I have learned so much from so many other people smarter than I am, and then being able to apply that and being willing to change. The game of baseball hasn't changed, but you have to change the way you coach. You're going to have to at some point in time with a different team. There might be something else that, maybe something happens with the university that you have to be willing to change. I coach differently now than I did in 2002 when I was the first year head coach at Parkside. And I've had to adjust. And those adjustments that we have made as a staff are what has helped us win two national championships. And you have to know, the last thing is this is, whatever you're teaching, believe in it. Not that you can't change it, not that you're going to make a little tweak, but believe in it. If you don't firmly believe in it, your guys won't believe in it.
Absolute dimes. Arch, we cannot thank you enough for taking some time out of your schedule to jump on our calls on the Clubhouse podcast. I mean, you're a rock star, man. We appreciate you being a loyal and proud ABCA member. And obviously the rest of the way, man, we wish you and USI and the very best of luck. We hope that you're rewriting your script for the rest of the year. And again, we look forward to hearing from you soon, my man. Thanks for being on the show.
All right. Thanks again, Cheech.
How about that one, guys? Terrific insight from one of the very best coaches in Division II, Tracy Archuleta from Southern Indiana. Coaching for relationships, embracing the process, staying grounded, just some terrific messages coming from Arch on this one. So again, guys, the resume speaks loudly for what he's been able to build there as a head coach in this game, but we're just thankful to have Tracy as a proud member of the ABCA. Appreciate him taking time to join our Callsome Clubhouse podcast. And moving forward, we wish Arch and USI the very best, especially for the back half of this season. Just want to keep reminding you guys, these are for you. This podcast connects you with some of the very best coaches in our game, and they're always here for you to listen to this great content on your time. We have coaches who've enrolled in Automobile University. They listen to these shows on their way to and from the office or the field, or even on the bus for road trips. We have coaches who plug these in during their workouts. We have coaches that listen to these in the office. All of them are perfect, as long as you're listening in. And here's how you stay updated on every episode that we're putting out. Number one, head over to iTunes or Google Play. Subscribe to our show on your iPhone or your Android device. It's an absolute no-brainer. These show up on your phone or your computer each Tuesday when a new show is released. It'll be right there waiting for you when you're ready to listen. Number two, you can stay plugged into our website, abca.org. You click on the Resources tab at the top, Callsome the Clubhouse podcast link will be right there waiting for you. You'll see all the content and guests we've had on. Just scroll through and pick out the ones that you want to specifically listen to that day. Or number three, give us a follow on Twitter at ABCA1945. We announce the release of the show. We pull the very best quotes from that show, put them in quote images. We pump it throughout the week. There's links for the show. Just follow us there on Twitter at ABCA1945. And speaking of Twitter, you might have seen some activity on there last night. And if you did, you were seeing our latest hashtag ABCAChat at work. Now, hashtag ABCAChat is a platform we created. It allows coaches from all over the world to connect with one another. We're on there sharing coaching information, but they're also networking and connecting, all in the spirit of growing our coaching knowledge, developing ourselves professionally. And it's a very simple process, guys. ABCA poses questions to the group. The group posts their answers and the information. The retweet and like buttons are flying around. All that great coaching information, but it's an opportunity to see what's being taught in our game outside of your bubble. Even challenging what you're doing with your players. It's an awesome time, guys. We're looking at Monday, March 1st, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We hope to see you guys check in on our next hashtag ABCAChat on Twitter. Again, make sure you're following us on there at ABCA1945. You can find me on there as well at CoachSheets3, or you can reach me directly by email Sheets, S-H-E-E-T-S, at ABCA.org. We love hearing from you. Shoot us a tweet or a message. Let us know how these episodes, the guests, or even quotes from our guests stuck with you. We love it. We'll spread the word about the podcast. We keep climbing the ladder here, guys, on the countless excellent baseball minds that we're working to connect you with. So stay tuned. We have only just begun. And just in case you didn't know, for only $45, you can join the world's largest baseball coaches fraternity, the American Baseball Coaches Association. Every single day, we're working for each of you, help delivering tremendous coaching information to you through our weekly press box, our Inside Pitch magazine, this podcast. Plus, we're doing our part to help grow the game of baseball along with you. So for more information, head over to abca.org. We hope to see you jump on board with us. And as always, coaches, we thank you for listening in. Please stay dialed into our Calls from the Clubhouse podcast. And until next week, keep growing, keep developing. We wish you and your club the very best, and thank you for what you're doing for the game of baseball.